Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
All right, let's get it started. Sorry, I don't know. Wow. I don't know. I just ate an apple. Maybe I have a lot of that apple energy going inside of me.
Yes, that apple energy. I love that apple energy.
You've heard about apple energy, right, Dori?
Yeah, totally.
So let's kick it off with a Glossier expert.
Love a Glossier expert. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Kate and Dori. My name is Catherine. I'm a listener from Wisconsin. And I just had to pause the pod from like 3 weeks ago now, when Kate was talking about her Glossier haul. And I'm a self-proclaimed Glossier expert. Self-proclaimed because it mostly just involves me buying all their products and using them and then aggressively recommending them to my friends. And so I was listening to Kate kind of talk about Future Dew and like how to use it and the confusion of putting it on before or after sunscreen. And so for Future Dew, this is like one of my holy grail products that I would wear. I basically wear every day when I'm seeing people, obviously during core, not necessarily seeing people. So I use it with the mascara, the lash slick, and the boy brow. It's kind of the three products I always wear for in addition to sunscreen. And so Glossier says to put it on after sunscreen, but the subreddit for Glossier, which I just looked at recently, and it's like pretty good. Everyone says to put sunscreen on after Future Dew, so that it doesn't interfere with the UV. So I would probably recommend that way because, I trust the people that were like citing facts about it and stuff. The other thing too, I know there's a hand creams episode and I haven't gotten to it yet. You may talk about the Glossier hand cream, but I wanted to give my proactive review for the Glossier hand cream that they just came out with. It is, not worth the price. It's like $18 for 1.7 ounces or something like that. It smells amazing. It smells way better than even Glossier U, and that is also one of my holy grail perfumes. I have a lot of holy grails from Glossier. It smells so good, so I would buy it again for that, but it's unfortunately like not worth the price for how often we have to put on lotion these days. So like works well, smells amazing, price point and value is 3 out of 5, I would say, like total. So just wanted to give that review in case anyone else was considering it and didn't want to pull the trigger. I'm happy to pull the trigger on any Glossier product and give my review. So happy to be that correspondent. Hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
I love that she's volunteered to be our Glossier correspondent.
Well, I need a Glossier correspondent in my life because I'm regretting not buying the mascara.
Oh.
People love okay. that Glossier mascara.
Well, Kate, nothing is stopping you.
It's just like the spending of the money that's stopping me. And I'm annoyed that I didn't buy it in my last purchase because it could have been included with the free with the shipping and, you know, that kind of stuff that holds you up. And I have so many mascaras. Yep. What? Why is the Glossier mascara so good, I wonder? But people love it. So I am tempted. I am tempted. I want to say I'm tempted. Anyway, I thought this was good intel. Great intel about the hand cream, by the way. Thank you.
Totally. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. From like a from a Glossier expert who's a Glossier stan, not standing the hand cream. Like, that's very transparent.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to a
new topic.
Listener writes, hi, K plus D. One topic I don't think the pod has covered is nipple hairs. Do you have them? If so, do you shave them, pluck them, or just embrace them? Would love to hear I'm not the only one struggling with the strays.
So I used to pluck them. But I stopped plucking them probably when I got pregnant because I was just like, who cares? And I don't pluck them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us have nipple hairs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did feel at one point in my life that I was the only one, but I have learned I'm not. So listener, you're not. I love to pluck them, but it's more like, it's not because I'm worried about people being my husband, like who sees my boobs, my kids and my husband, anyone being like, ew, like I'm totally down with my nipple hairs, but they're just a real satisfying pluck.
They are. You know what else? I don't have great tweezers anymore. I need to get some new tweezers. And so that has affected my nipple hair plucking.
You make a good point, because if you don't have a good tweezer, pulling out hairs is not satisfying. It's just irritating.
No.
It's like, doesn't bring
you. It's
very
irritating.
Yeah, there's a pleasure in the pluck, and you want to enjoy it.
There is a pleasure in the pluck.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, you're not alone.
Goodness gracious.
I've never shaved them because I don't find shaving very satisfying, and the grow back is annoying. And, like, who wants to be putting a blade near your, like, areola and your nipple?
That's my concern. I feel like there's a lot of potential for bloody areolae.
Bloody areolae. That sounds like like an late 80s.
Like a punk band?
Yeah, like a new Riot wave Girl. Band. Yeah. Bloody Areoles.
It's my new band. Yeah.
Yeah. Embrace them. We've all got them.
We've all got them.
They're beautiful. All right. Dory, you want to hit play on this this voicemail?
Yes, I do.
Hey, Kat and Dor. This is Danielle calling from New Orleans. And I literally just got out of the shower, standing here putting on my serums and stuff, butt-ass naked. And speaking of butts, on today's minisode, y'all were talking about the, you know, butt masks and everything, forever lifestyle that we're living, and catching butt masks and whatnot. And we all came back to the topic of butt meat, because that's something that myself and a lot of other individuals struggle with. And as we speak right now, might be TMI, but I am using some of the Ordinary salicylic acid solution. And I put that on the butt cheeks and like my underbutt area where it kind of folds over, and I'll get a lot of like sometimes folliculitis, sometimes ingrown hair, sometimes just straight up butt acne. Sometimes I'll even put a little bit of that salicylic acid like on places where I know I'm prone to getting ingrown hairs. I put serums, at least those serums from The Ordinary, because they're expensive, on my bum a lot, and it has really helped me avoid butt meat. Like, I used to get the most painful, gnarly cysts, like cystic acne on my butt. And I just want to shout out to, you know, The Ordinary salicylic acid. And sometimes if I'm feeling sassy, I'll even use their lactic acid. which is allegedly a good jeans dupe. Yeah, so that's a lot about me and my butt. I hope y'all's butts are doing great. Thanks for everything you guys do. You're like my big sisters. And shout out to Nicole, my former boss, who listens to the pod, who just heard a lot about my butt. All right, bye.
What a great voicemail.
So on so many levels. Hello to Nicole.
So many levels.
Former boss.
I just loved standing here butt ass naked. And speaking of butts.
Listen, I love when people call us butt ass naked. That is so totally delightful. And you know what? I actually really appreciate this voicemail because I've always gotten like butt sits and I've just been like, oh, well, like I've never thought about treating them like a face sit, but they're the same. It's the same. Have you have you ever been like, oh, I've got a serum, this butts it?
I do not really get butts it.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Breaking news? You don't get butts it's?
Which is weird because I get a lot of face sits, and as discussed, I get zits on my head. But butts it's, like, I will get the very occasional butts it, but it's not, and I've never had back knee. Like, that just does not seem to be an area that I get zits on, I'm sorry to say.
It's okay. It's totally fine.
I'm the first person to admit places where I get zits, but my butt is just so weirdly not one of them.
Riddle me this. Have you ever had a really painful, like almost cystic acne zit on your butt where it like hurts to sit because there's a zit on your butt cheek, or no?
No, but I will tell you that I do remember, I mean, this was years ago, having a butt zit and contorting myself in the mirror and popping it.
Yeah, totally.
And it was very satisfying.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just never thought about putting the like treatments on zits on other parts of my body, but this is so logical. I'm embarrassed that I've never thought of it.
Totally. And, you know, the ordinary, I wouldn't start putting like good jeans on my butt, in part because it's really expensive. But the ordinary is not that expensive.
No,
so
it's
like
a good price point.
It's a good price point, as she points out. Thank you, Danielle, for this.
This was great.
Voicemail. We really appreciated it.
All right. Well, we have a couple listeners who weighed in on Bumble BFF. And I wanted to share both of these messages because I just thought it might be good for people to hear. This was follow-up on friend making. So one listener writes, hi Cat and Door. Listener wrote in on the mini app about her friend situation and how she just has never had that many friends, which is kind of highlighted by her coming birthday. I agree with Kate. One thing you can do when you think about your friend situation is kind of acknowledge it and maybe stay in the present by saying, this is my friend situation now, and maybe let go of some of your heaviness of I've always had trouble making friends. Also, and maybe most importantly, I wanted to comment on Bumble BFF. I tried it for a while when I moved to a new city, San Francisco, since all of my friends for a while were guys and I wanted to cultivate some girlfriends. Like what I hear about dating these days, sometimes it feels like a lot of texting before actually meeting up with people, but I did find a few gems of people that I really click with and still continue to be friends with. Also, finding these two ladies led to more friends of friends. Maybe during the quarantine, you can hop on the app, get rolling, and engage in some messaging and try to find some people you would like to meet up with when that's okay again.
Oh,
great, great idea. I love hearing this.
Great
about,
idea.
Bumble BFF. So we had another caller weigh in on Bumble BFF as well. Yep.
Hey guys, this is Stephanie calling from Chicago. I was just listening to the latest mini episode and I wanted to say that when I moved to Chicago about 3 years ago, I joined Bumble BFF and I met my BFF. And shout out to Melissa because it is her birthday this Saturday. Woohoo! Actually, her big 40. So happy birthday, Melissa, and love the pod. Thanks, you guys.
Well, there you go.
You meet a BFF on Bumble BFF. I thought that was awesome. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, so definitely dip a toe.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes people are wary of apps, but like, there's nothing to be wary about.
Well, I mean, you met your husband on Tinder. Tinder, is that what it's called?
I've
never used an app, so a dating app, so I don't know. It sounded really weird coming out of my mouth, like I maybe got it wrong.
No, it is Tinder, Kate.
Yeah. App it up.
App it up. Should we take a short break?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. All right, we're back.
Better than ever.
Should I read this?
Yeah, share this email with us, Tori.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I want to start off by saying I feel so privileged for even complaining about this right now. I have a job with a salary and my health, and I know so many other people are struggling with way more serious things right now. But here goes it. I've been working at my dream job for the past 5 years. It's really hard and stressful, but also very rewarding and meaningful. I work directly with people in need, and I thrive off of that human contact, though it can also be draining. In the time of coronavirus, I've been working remotely, but most of my job really can't be done remotely. I'm on part furlough, and I find myself struggling to figure out what to do all day. I think I took so much identity, meaning, and purpose from my job, and now that it's not there and won't be back to the way it was for a long time, I don't really know what to do with myself. I guess I never realized how much of my self-worth was bound up in my work until it was gone. Any tips? I don't really want to be the kind of person whose only meaning in life is from their work. But at the same time, I can't really do some of the other things I'd like to do right now, like travel or spend lots of time with family and friends. What are some other ways I can find meaning and purpose right now?
Wow, great question.
Great question. I would start by looking for volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed too.
You know, there's stuff that you can do virtually, and then I think depending on what state you're in, I think some things are also opening back up for kind of limited in-person volunteer opportunities, and you can always do things like deliver meals to seniors or things that don't require, you know, close contact.
Yeah, especially because this listener mentions that they work with people in need and they thrive off of human contact. Maybe there's mm-hmm. some way to find that in a volunteering opportunity right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, that's my biggest thought. And I think it is also good to reflect on the ways in which we find meaning in life and also, I think, define ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know I've had moments where I've left a job and it was like, well, now what is my identity? And
yeah,
that's a very strange, profound kind of loss and feeling to think about. So I think this can also be a good time for you to kind of ponder, like, who are you? What are your value, your core values? Where else do you want to find purpose in your life? And mm-hmm. Dory, but also, isn't it kind of okay if your meaning in life is from your work?
Totally.
Like, I think that's also like, you're okay, Liz. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fully okay.
So give yourself permission for that to be okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a long one. This is a fascinating email. I am dying. Mm-hmm. I am dying to know what you think about this. Okay. A listener writes in, I'm a 32-year-old who has finally found the love of my life after an extremely difficult 7-year relationship that ended when I turned 30. After staying in that relationship for longer than I should have, I did break free and my life has changed night and day. I am incredibly happy without my ex, and I am thankful every day that I found my current partner, who was separated when we first met and is now divorced. We understand a lot of what each other has gone through and we just click. Okay, he and I have been discussing marriage, and I am finally ready for this big step. We are also seriously talking about purchasing a home together. All of these major life events are now set within the confusing and scary context of the pandemic. We are quarantining together and are both still employed, thankfully. We are eternally grateful for the privileged life we have, which brings me to this question. My grandmother gave me her diamond engagement ring before she passed away while I was still single. She and I were very close, and she wore this ring every day. When she gave it to me, she told me explicitly that she wanted me to have it, but that it couldn't be my engagement ring because she wanted whoever would marry me to have to, quote, work to get me a ring, just as my grandfather did for her. She also told this to my mother, who helped my grandmother divvy up the jewelry with her prior to her passing. Now that I'm seriously considering marriage, I don't know if it's kosher to use this ring. It is in dire need of resetting, but the center stone is beautiful. I don't know how I feel about going against her wishes for this piece of meaningful jewelry. Will I look at it daily and feel the guilt of letting her down? Will it somehow be cursed? Or would she have wanted me to be happy and to be reminded of her whenever I glance down at my hand, knowing that this beautiful family heirloom continues on after her death? Resetting the ring is much more practical and cost-effective than buying a new one, especially given the current economic state of affairs, both personally and nationally, and our desire to save money for a house and maybe someday have a wedding. And yes, I do want a diamond, despite my best efforts to be more open-minded about such traditional tropes. I understand that this decision is a personal one that my partner and I should make together, but maybe you or your other fabulous listeners have gone through something similar and have the wisdom and hindsight of experience that you can share.
A very interesting dilemma. I do have some thoughts.
Let's hear them.
Okay. I think you can sort of have your cake and eat it too in this situation. I think that you can have your fiance. He is already your fiance. Well, he's not officially your fiance to be. I think you can have him quote unquote work, which I mean, I'm going to set aside the issues with your grandmother's edict because she is of a different generation and she has passed away and I don't need to like litigate her like internalized misogyny. But anyway, sorry, was that too harsh? But like, come on.
No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. So I think you can honor her wishes by having your fiance to be pay for the resetting, and maybe you get like, what are, I mean, I'm so like jewelry ignorant. What are the baguettes, the littler diamonds that sometimes surround a larger diamond? Is that what they're called?
Or like pave. There's all sorts of little things you can put.
There's
in
all
there.
Sorts of little diamonds that you can put around the bigger diamond, on your ring. And I think he can pay for those and he has quote unquote worked for them, but it's not buying a whole new ring and wasting this beautiful diamond that your grandmother gave you. So that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I agree with Dory. I also think like you and your partner have other things that you are quote working toward together. And like, I feel like your grandmother, her idea that she wants your partner to quote work for something, like, well, you're both putting money toward a home that you want to buy together. Like, I don't know. I think, listener, let me tell you something here. My mom, when she was dying, told me something that she wanted me to do. She like gave me some advice. And I was like, okay, this is like almost deathbed kind of stuff. And you know what? I didn't follow it. And I don't feel bad about it because I'm also my own person living my own life. And I can make different choices. You know, I just
ooh, yes.
I think you know what is both the practical thing to do and the thing that you want to do. And I would do it. And that is like resetting this diamond. I mean, your partner could pay for the resetting too, you know, if it's really that important that your partner contribute in this way to this ring. But truly, I think like you, the part of being in a partnership is that together you decide what your financial values are. And it sounds like you want to work toward a home and paying for a wedding. And if those things are more important to you than a ring, like, so be it. You've got a ring. It's your grandma's ring.
Yeah. Kate, I love that. All right. This is another interesting quandary. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm a 30-something-year-old hospital dietitian, and I've been working remotely since mid-March related to COVID-19. The majority of my coworkers continue to work at the hospital, but our schedule has changed to have fewer people working in our offices at a time for social distancing purposes. I am working from home through a request for accommodation through HR as I have very severe asthma and was quite fearful that if exposed to COVID-19, I would likely not have a mild case slash fear the worst. Although I miss working in a quote normal way, I have not minded being at home because I'm naturally an introvert and my house is my happy place and can still do my work over the phone slash internet. The one thing that has really gotten to me is I feel significantly distanced from a few workplace friends. There's a group of us who regularly would hang out outside of work and have a group text that was pretty popular up until our schedule changes. Now, a few of my work friends are on a different schedule for me, and I've sensed an overall shift. Our group chat almost never has anyone sending messages, and the few times I've sent things, no one has responded. We have done one house party gathering that was fun, but overall, I get the sense that my coworkers are still working at the hospital are annoyed by me, or are resentful of my working from home. I think they think I'm being overdramatic for working from home at my age. None of them have any chronic health conditions. I know that a few of them still are spending time together outside of work, and I'm having major FOMO. I also feel sad because I really considered them close friends, and I'm not sure what has happened. I tried to reach out both individually and in the group chat when I was first at home, but I've gotten only a few responses here and there in return. And then after no one responded a few times to my group chat messages, I stopped contacting anyone because I didn't want to annoy anyone further. I've considered reaching out either to them all or individually to ask what I've done or if I'm perceiving things wrong. But knowing them, I think they would likely deny anything is up, or maybe working together was our only connection and our friendship isn't as strong as I thought. I'd be happy to take any suggestions on how to approach this in a way that won't lead to things being too awkward when I eventually return to work in person.
Hmm. Where to even begin with this one, Dory?
Well, I'm going to begin with these people suck.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. They suck. Why aren't they responding to you?
They really suck.
If they're, you all work, you're all medical workers. So yeah. I would imagine that I would be shocked, though maybe not, to find out that they were angry at you or jealous of you or annoyed or not believing you for working from home. You're at high risk for COVID. Now they could not be responding because, like all of us, they are stressed, depressed, scared, dealing with many things that could be going on in their lives. And in which case, like, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, sure, that there could be other things going on that are not related, yes, to you. But I think you can do one more attempt at being like, hey, I miss everyone. I just want to check in and make sure everyone's okay because I haven't heard from people. Y'all doing okay? Like, miss you all. Love being friends with you. And if they don't respond again, I think you can maybe reevaluate their meaning in your life. Because your suspicion feel like that. What a yucky way for you to feel that they're all possibly. I don't know. Oftentimes it's not at all about you. So it's. But I would like them to let you know either way. I don't know. Go back to these people's sector. I just babbled and interrupted you.
No, I think you're right, and you're right in that we should give them the benefit of the doubt and acknowledge that everyone is going through a hard time right now. And like, look, maybe they do feel resentful that you're working from home and they're not, you know, I mean, they shouldn't, but maybe they do. And I just feel like this is a thing where I think you just have to wait it out.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think reaching out to them to ask what I've done. I mean, that, like, you have not done anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't go down that path either. Yeah.
I wouldn't go down that path. I think you just have to say, you know what? We're in a really weird time right now. And it's possible that these are actually just work friends. And when I don't see them, like, they're not really friends, but maybe when I go back to work, then we'll go back to being friends. Mm. And that's okay. Like it's hard to realize that your friendships have like limitations or that your friendships aren't what you thought they were. But I think once you come to terms with that and you just say to yourself, okay, these are work friends and that's it, then it'll make things easier for you.
Mm. Well put, Dory.
Thanks. I mean, what do you think that is?
Yeah,
I mean, think that's bad advice.
No, I actually think that's really good advice, and I do think that work friends can be such a strange relationship because you're together most of your days. It's sometimes really intense experiences. You can feel very close, and then often when you're separated, it's like maybe you weren't friends, or it's hard to maintain the relationships in the same way. And that is okay. I think like trying to communicate and figure out what's going on and giving everyone kind of the benefit of the doubt a little bit, and then going from there. But if they are resentful or they have ghosted you, I think it's worth just checking in with yourself and saying like, are these people I want to devote like deep friendship bonds with? You can still be friends,
right?
You know,
totally. Totally.
And, you know, again, I don't know, this listener says they work at they're a dietitian. I have no idea the stresses that dietitians at hospitals are under right now. So there might be something, you know, I mean, this is a crazy time.
Yep.
You know, so take it all with that caveat.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take one more break and then we shall be back. Okay, Dory, we got this email and I'm dying to share it because I've been doing one of the things they told me to do.
Great.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm one of your older listeners, as I have a daughter about your ages. I wanted to weigh in on the toenail issue. Start taking care of them now, as they just get worse with age. I have 1 foot with thick old lady nails. I started this year going without polish, starting when it is no longer sandal season in Texas. I think I will continue through the summer since nobody is going to see them anyway. I was told to use Vaseline on my toenails every day to moisturize. It is cheap, and Kate, I know you have some. Oh, I do. I also coat my feet with Vicks Vapor Rub and wear socks to bed in the winter. Hope this helps, and thanks for the podcast and Daily Henry.
Oh.
So I've been putting Vicks Vapor Rub on my toenails. This listener's not the only person who weighed in about Vicks Vapor Rub.
Wow. Do you see a difference, or has it been not
enough?
It's
only been
yet?
Like 3 or 4 days. They are feeling, okay. They are looking better. I also like scrub brushed them in the shower today.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've never scrubbed my toenails before, but that's where I'm at in life right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But this was interesting. I do have Vaseline. I haven't slathered my feet in Vaseline, but maybe I'll also do that. But I have been doing the Vapor Rub, Vicks Vapor Rub.
Listen, I am still loving my Amlactin foot cream.
Do you put it on every night?
Slathering it. Yes, I put it on every night, and I've been slathering it on my toe, like on the toes and on the finger, on the toenails. Mm-hmm. And I think it's doing something. And my heels have never been so soft.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I might need to pick that up too.
All right. Should we hear this last voicemail?
Yes, please.
Hi, Kate and Dor. This is a longtime listener, Aisha, all the way from Pakistan. I'm calling from the beautiful city of Lahore, which is also the cultural capital of Pakistan. So, you know, this whole corona, you know, it's affected everybody. And we're in the midst of celebrating the holy month of Ramadan, which is marked by fasting from, you know, sunrise to sunset. And later this week, we will be celebrating the end of Ramadan with a three-day festival called Eid. But basically, you know, you go full out in the celebrations, buy new clothes, shoes, lots of cooking, lots of food, lots of family lunches, dinners. And as you can imagine, none of that's happening right now. So it's like Christmas has been canceled. So, you know, it's... very disappointing, especially, you know, when your kids are looking forward to celebrating and getting gifts and, you know, just being together with family. So, you know, we're just going to do the best we can celebrating at home. Maybe, you know, get some henna, put that on, get some, you know, still get some new clothes and put them on, take some pictures, have a small lunch at home. So, you know, it's really, really disappointing, and we're very sad that we'll be celebrating without family, but, you know, it is what it is, and Eid to remember, definitely. So just thought I'd let you guys know how we're coping all the way over here. Thank you so much for the podcast. Love both of your podcasts, listen to them obsessively, and really have, you know, listening to everybody's pandemic stories and issues and the way they've overcome them has really, you know, getting us a sense of community, global villageness, so to speak. Keep it up. Thank you so much for the pod. Thank you.
Oh, listener, thank you for sharing this. This sounds so hard.
Yeah, really hard.
Yeah, and it sounds like you are approaching it as optimistically as possible, but that is such a deep letdown. Especially you mentioned your kids, this feeling of not being able to celebrate, not being able to be with friends and family and enjoying this coming together in the way that you normally do, just is crushing.
Yeah. I'd love to hear how our other Muslim listeners are navigating this.
Yeah. Yeah. And we wish you a happy Eid.
Yep.
But yeah, thank you for this. And also, this is another one when I mean, I'm so touched that someone in Lahore is listening to our podcast. I know every time someone calls
from
out of the States, I always act like I can't believe it, but I can't believe it. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to travel the world again one day, Dory.
Right? Same.
Okay. On that somber note of me wistfully remembering travel. Thank you all. We appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Butt Max never, 35 forever.
And butt serums too.
Yep. Bye.